stirring and emotional word last week about fathers. It was a great tribute. It got me. And it was a good reminder, wasn't it, that we serve a good, good Father. So last time that I preached, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about spiritual battles. And we were talking about the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. And so we looked at the story. Boy, there was one other thing I wanted to share in there. Okay, well, it'll come back to me. So we looked at the story of Elijah, where he called the nation together and said, hey, let's decide who you're going to serve. And so we saw this picture of the prophets of Baal, and they were jumping up and down on their altar. They were screaming and yelling. They were cutting themselves. They were bleeding. They were calling on their God to send down fire. What happened? Zilch. Nothing. And then we have Elijah, who had heard the voice of the Lord, was being obedient to the Lord, and he said, Father, show them who's God, send down fire. Woof! It burned up the sacrifice, it burned up the wood, it burnt up the altar, and it burnt up the water in the trough. Come on. And the people go, oh, well, maybe he is God and maybe we should serve him. Duh, you think so? Right. So when I was praying about what we were to look at today and learn today and be challenged with today, I heard, well, read the next part of the story. Okay, well, that's easy. We'll just stay right in 1 Kings. So we were in 1 Kings 18. This time we're in 1 Kings 19. So after that happened, okay, Elijah had won this great spiritual battle. Oh, this was the other part. Yay. So when we're in spiritual battles, first of all, we know that we're not wrestling against people, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. We do our part of the battle, but the rest of the battle is the Lord's. I love that. He fights with us. It's not just our battle. And so God came and he did his part by sending the fire. But sometimes when we're fighting spiritual battles, even when we're victorious, if you go to war and you're victorious, you still can be exhausted. So Elijah finds himself exhausted, and the queen says, I'm coming after you next. Now Elijah just saw all that God had done. And yet, because he was spiritually exhausted and weary from the battle, it said he fled. So he finds himself, he ran away, he went into the wilderness. And when he got into the wilderness, it said the Lord sent an angel, and the angel fed him. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know what kind of food the angel fed him, it doesn't say, but it says on the strength of that food, he traveled 40 days further into the wilderness. Come on! Isn't that interesting? Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He travels 40 days into the wilderness. Interesting. So anyway, he was on a journey. He went to Mount Horeb, H-O-R-E-B. And I thought I had remembered something, probably from my Bible school days, which is 30 years ago now. And so I did a little research to verify that what I thought I remembered was true. That mountain has another name. That's Mount Sinai. What else happened at Mount Sinai? Moses met with God for 40 days. And God spoke to him and gave him the Ten Commandments. It's also the mountain that where Moses was tending the sheep at the base of, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush. Now I gotta find where I am. Okay. Jesus said that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Don't you love that? Because then I know that he's guiding me as a sheep, leading me. We know from Psalm 100, he takes us to green pastures, fresh water. And he said his sheep would know his voice. Here's the concern I arrived with today, after preparing this and praying, is that there is so much clamor out there. There's clamor about COVID. There's clamor about race. There's clamor about history. There's clamor on Facebook. Everywhere we go, there's noise and clamor. We need to make sure that our radio is tuned into him, not the clamor. See, Elijah only heard Jezebel's voice. And when he heard Jezebel's voice, he fled. What if he would have paused and said, well, God, what are you saying about this situation? So Jesus said that we as his sheep would know his voice. In this season, in this time period, it is imperative, not a good suggestion. It is imperative that we learn how to hear and recognize the voice of God. That we would be able to distinguish his voice above all others. How many of you as a kid remember being lost? Anybody? Were you ever lost? And no matter what other noise there was, whether you were in a shopping center, a boardwalk, a park, an amusement park, with all the yelling and screaming and noise, you could hear, "Hey, Steve!" Actually, it was, "Hey, Doug." My brother got lost at Hershey Park. One of our kids got lost at Ocean City, Maryland one time. In and out of a store or something, we lost them momentarily. I think one of your boys did the same thing, if I remember correctly. And so, you can hear your parents' voice. One of my girls, I think it was Steph, she purposely got lost in a department store and were yelling, "Stephanie, where are you? Stephanie, where are you?" And the store was getting ready. Now they instantly do that if you say you have a missing child, but they were getting ready to send security guards to the doors. And I said, "If you can hear me, you better come out." I know that she heard Dad's voice, but she still chose to be under the dresses, standing on the metal ring in the mirror, so when we were walking around, we could not see her feet. So after that, she got put on one of those kitty leashes. She's asked me to forgive her for that since, but. So it's so important that we learn to hear Jesus' voice above all the clamor. I just felt like it was imperative that we remember that. All right. So Elijah finds himself at Mount Horeb. Who remembers that story? What verse did I want to start with? Okay, 11. So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountain. Come on, picture this. You ran to the mountain of the Lord to get away. And you're there. And you go out and you're standing looking down the mountain. And the Lord walks by and the mountain starts to shake and boulders start to fall. I think that'd shake you up a little bit. and breaking in pieces the rock before the Lord, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. A strong enough wind to tear boulders off a mountain. The Lord wasn't in the wind. Wasn't in the clamor. Wasn't in the things breaking apart. And after the wind, an earthquake. I don't know if I'd want to be up in the mountain during an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake either. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the wind, a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Have you ever had God ask you a question like that? I have. So, Steve, what do you think you're doing? Or do you think he doesn't know the answer to that question? Do you think God didn't know why Elijah was at the mountain because he was afraid of Jezebel? God wanted Elijah, God wanted me, God wants you to recognize where you're at. Why? So he can take you from there. If you don't recognize where you are and why you're there, he can't take you to where he wants you to go. So the interesting thing is, he doesn't even address the reason that Elijah's there. He says, "Get up and get moving. Get up and get going. I have an assignment for you." Sometimes he has to talk that way to us. Stop what you're doing. Get up and get going. Because you realize he has an assignment for each of us. Even if that assignment is just go to work every day and be a witness and light for me in that place. Get up and get going. He said, "I have work for you to do. You need to go to this place and anoint this person as king. You need to go to this place and anoint this person as king. And then I have your successor ready. Go and find him and set him in place." In other words, get out of the mountain. Stop being afraid. Aren't I big enough? Go do it. But if he had not listened to the voice of God, he would not know any of that. He'd still be in hiding in a cave, afraid of Jezebel. But it said he thought that this was going to be God. So he put his cloak on. You know, already there had been strong enough wind to tear boulders off the mountain. There had already been an earthquake and already be a fire. You'd be a little concerned what might be outside of that cave again. But he put that on and he goes to the entrance of the cave, and in the gentle quiet, he heard the voice of God. How imperative to hear the voice of God. Imperative to hear the voice of God. Oh, the other thing we need to hear from God is truth. You know why? Because you and I have a tendency to believe lies. Now, you can all look at me and say, "Pastor Steve, just you." Okay, if you think it's just me. But Elijah did. When God said to him, "Why are you here?" He said, "Well, I just did this and I just did that, and then the queen did this, and I'm all alone. I'm the only believer left. Poor me. It's just me. There's nobody else." Verse 18. "I will leave 7,000 in Israel. All the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." See, God said, that's a lie. You think you're alone. You think no one's with you. You think no one's supporting you. You think no one's praying for you. There's 7,000. other people who are still my followers. 7,000. See, sometimes we need to hear God's voice because it needs to dispel lies we're believing. Thank you for that, Pastor Kirk. I got one amen. The rest of you, you are allowed to say amen. Our perceived ideas of what God is like greatly affect what we expect His voice to be like. Did you ever meet someone for the first time and you sort of have an idea what the voice would be like that goes with the body, and then it's nothing like that? I had that experience when I worked at the family business for years. I was the purchaser, so I was on the phone every day. We had like 30-some vendors, and I had to call them all and place all the orders. Things weren't done by computers back then. And so I always talked to these same people at all these locations. And this one lady I think I talked to for maybe 12 years before I met her. And I had in my mind how old she was, what she looked like. I never asked her, you know, how old are you and what do you look like? And Dad and I went to a meeting at that company, and we're sitting there for the meeting, and this lady comes in. She goes, "Hi, Steve." Oh, my goodness. Not anywhere near the age I thought she was. Nowhere near how I expected her to look. See, sometimes we miss God's voice because we think it's going to be a particular way. Do you expect God's voice to be gruff, loud, angry, judging? When might He talk to you? You think He's only going to talk to you when you're doing something you shouldn't? Okay? You know, like sometimes us as parents, we only talk to the kids when it's, "Stop doing that! Don't go over there! Don't beat up your brother! Don't jump up and down on his head!" You know, whatever it is. Is that the only time we expect God to talk to us? When might we hear Him inside of us? At church? When reading the Word? Oh, I'm supposed to say yes after this. At church? Yes! When reading the Word, because none of you said it with for me. When reading the Word? Hey, awesome. See? Told you, Jack, I don't like to say everything. During worship. When you're being quiet. See, that's my problem. My mind is never quiet. If I have an hour, I look at Stacy with nothing planned. What am I going to do for an hour? She said, "Why don't you just sit on the sofa?" Well, idea, huh? But the trees need, and the bushes need, and the weeds, and the poison ivy, and then over at church, and then I have to get ready for the credit union, and yeah, see that? Okay. The same God who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush is the same God who met with him for 40 days on the mountain and was the one who spoke to Elijah in the quiet. Do you remember Father God spoke at Jesus' baptism? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He spoke again when Jesus was spiritually transfigured. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." See, if you're expecting God to be angry or judgmental or gruff, when He speaks something encouraging or uplifting to you, you might not recognize it as His voice. There are three voices we could be hearing in our heads. Now, I was at a training one time and somebody said, if you hear more than three, you need some help. But most of us should only hear one of three voices. One is God's. One is the enemy. And you know, He's the father of lies. So almost everything you hear is going to be a lie. He said some truthful things in the Word. He just twisted them. But then we have our own voice. But here's the problem. Sometimes what we're saying to ourselves is what someone spoke over us. Somebody may have called us lazy, ugly, untalented, unworthy. And when they said those things, we started to say those things. So they didn't have to say them anymore. Maybe we never even saw that person again. But because that person spoke that thing to us, we started saying it to ourselves. I had somebody one time say to me, you know, you're really lazy. You don't like to do too much. And then I realized when I had 10 other people telling me the exact opposite. I had a pastor that didn't say it directly to me, but told a number of other people, Steve and Stacy are the hardest workers I've ever seen. And I thought, you know, that was a lie then. And see, that's what we do. When somebody says, you're fat, you're ugly, you're unintelligent, you're just dumb. And we think, yeah, you know what? I think that's right. The enemy does the same thing. The enemy comes and he says, you know, you're not really saved, because if you were saved, you wouldn't struggle with. And we start to think, you know what? Maybe the enemy's right. See? So God's voice, the enemy's voice, or our own voice, which could be corrupted. So do you see why it's so important we hear God's voice? Because His voice is always true. And just like He expelled the lie that Elijah believed, I'm alone, no one cares about me, I'm going to die, the queen's going to kill me. By the way, that never happened. He was worried about something that was never going to happen. So, here's the big question. How do we get to know the voice of God? Well, it's the same way you get to know anybody else's voice. Okay? I've been told I have a very distinct voice. I don't know why it's any more distinct than anyone else's, because all of you have distinct voices. I know all of your voices. You know, Marlon has a really distinct voice. And when Marlon calls, he says, hey, Pastor Steve, I know right away it's Marlon. He doesn't even have to say his name, right? Well, how did I get to know Marlon's voice? I've known Marlon since I've been 18 years old. I went fishing one time with he and his little boys. Would never do it again. We were out in the creek, and Marlon gave them all fishing rods, all of them fishing rods. And this was flying, and that was flying, and I'm ducking as hooks are going over my head. And one kid says, hey, Dad, look, I got a hook through my finger. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back to the church picnic across the street. You guys have fun. And Marlon just yanks it out and the blood's flying and they keep fishing. Yeah, so I've known Marlon that long. So because I've spent time with Marlon, I know his voice. So how do you think we get to know God's voice? By spending time with him. We also get to recognize people's voices because we know their character. And if we learn God's character, when we hear a voice, we can say, nope, not God. Pretending to be God, but not God. So how I learned God's voice is reading through here, especially the Gospels. I have read through the Gospels, I don't even know how many times. I don't think it'd be an exaggeration to say more than 30 times. So I would encourage you to read John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John again. Why? I'm going to tell you. I have no idea where I am in my notes. Okay. John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. See, He wants to lead us and guide us. But if we're not listening for His voice, how can He do that? We might find ourselves somewhere we were never supposed to be, carrying burdens we were never supposed to be carrying, hiding in a mountain where we weren't supposed to be because we didn't listen to his voice. He says, and I give them eternal life. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So come on. I and the Father are one. Who speaks the whole way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So when you get to know Jesus, you get to know the Father. The Father is not going to say something that Jesus would not say. What do parents use their voices for? Guide you, direct you, encourage you, train you, teach you. Yeah, sometimes correct you. God wants to do all those things as well. So as we learn His voice, that allows us to receive those things from Him. Teaching, guiding, counsel, correction, training. You know, we say to our kids, that's not how you should treat your brother or sister. You know, that message isn't just for the kids. You can throw your rotten tomatoes at me now. I'm okay. So it is vitally essential and vital that in this season of change, of trials, and of coming revival, that's what all the Christian leaders are saying. We're going through a season of change. We're going through trials. But what's coming is revival. So if that is true, doesn't it mean that for each of those, it's vital that we know and hear His voice? If we're going through a season of change, that means you want to be able to change as He's changing. If He's doing new things, you want to do new things. He's going new places, you want to go new places. Trials? Come on, we talked about that. Where do you want to be focused during the trials? His face. And if revival is coming, I want to be part of it. So we need to learn to recognize and hear the Father's voice. We said one of the ways is to get in the Word, especially the Gospel. Two is learn to listen to His voice during worship. Karen did that this morning. I'm encouraging all of us to do that. You're not just singing to Him. He says, when you draw near to me, what's He do? He draws near to us. And who knows it? How many of you know, I'll phrase that question different, how many of you know that if He's drawing close to you, more than likely He has something He wants to say. If I get in my car and drive to Kurt and Trisha's house and get out of my car and knock on their door, I bet I have something to say. Right? I mean, maybe I heard she had an apple pie and I'm showing up for the apple pie. But either way, I probably have something to say. Listen for His voice in worship. Allow truth to pierce through any and all lies you may be believing. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, boy, how sad it would be if He's standing there, the door of your heart, and He's pounding, and He's calling your name, but you're listening to all the clamor, or so you can't hear His voice, or you hear the voice and you don't think it's God. So you don't say, here I am, and you open the door and let Him in. Come on. If I'm standing at the door and knocking, and you hear my voice, open the door, and He will come in. See, I feel for all of us, He is such a good Father, such an intimate Father, that He's talking to us all the time. I don't think it's just that He waits till Sunday morning to talk to us. I think He's talking to us every day throughout the day. It's whether or not we're listening. Whether or not we've tuned our ham radio to His station. You know, if He's sending out these signals, if He's calling our names, okay, Frank, and we're tuned to another channel, we're going to miss hearing Him come out the speaker, aren't we? In the, that was the Living Bible. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Isn't that a cool translation? That's how much He wants to just sit down and have a chat with you. So boy, I don't want anyone to raise their hands. When was the last time you opened the door, sat down with Jesus, and shared a meal? Now I realize He's not coming to have a grilled cheese sandwich with you, but He's coming to commune with you and spend time with you. When did you do that last? A number of times Jesus made this next statement, and it's the whole way through the book of Revelations. Anyone who has ears to hear, let him listen. So that means we can actually have ears and not hear or listen. What? That's what that means. We have spiritual ears, but we can choose to have them open or not. So let's decide today. If it's this vital that we hear the Father's voice, let's ask Him to open up our ears. I remember some people told me, and it may have even been some of you, but I absolutely don't remember who it is, so I can't be embarrassing anybody because I'm not talking about anybody here that I remember. But I'm pretty sure it was somebody at the church one time had told me that they were having trouble hearing, and they went to the doctors, and it was just because their ears were plugged with wax and they had to have water, however they do that. So our ears could just have gotten plugged up. Let's pray today and ask God to open our ears. And then let's do everything we can to train those spiritual ears to hear His voice. Get in the Word, be in worship. We're having a great time in the personal ministry class, and I know they did in the prophecy class, of practicing hearing the voice of God. This week, Steph had us, when people shared prayer requests, instead of just jumping in right away and praying, we said, God, what are You saying about that prayer request? That's what we want to pray. That was a lot of fun. We were supposed to be done around 8:30, and I got home at 9. And so God was speaking. See, when we chose to listen and say, God, what are You saying about this issue? How can I best pray for this person? What are You doing in this situation? Because if He shows us what He's doing, we do that. And if He tells us what He's saying, then we say the same thing. Right, Mike? Mike was starting to preach my sermon at the men's group. I had to stop him Wednesday night. I said, why do you keep doing my sermon? And he's like, well, we're on the same page. I'll come Sunday and we're going to root together. I'm like, yay. Because he kept saying, you hear from God? This is what you do? And I'm like, yeah. So he got us guys all ready. So, all right, let's stand. It's just great being with everybody. It is awesome. I'm trying not to be emotional. I told you I'd try. All right. So as a prophetic act today, I know these aren't your spiritual ears. Your spiritual ears are in your spirit. But as a prophetic act, now don't cover them so you can't hear me praying, but just touch your ears. Okay? And just pray quietly along with me if you want to hear God's voice. And I'm encouraging all of you, it's not just a good thing, it's an imperative thing in the season that we're in. So Father God, we're coming to You today and we're asking that You would open our ears. That You would turn our channel, tune our channels to Your voice. That even in the loud clamoring of all that's going on around us, not just busyness in our own life, but busyness and clamor in the world. Above all of that, above all threats, all trials, during a season of change, during revival, during trials, we must hear your voice, Heavenly Father. So we ask that you would open our ears today. If there's something clogging it, that you would clean it out. That if we're believing lies about you that's keeping us from recognizing your voice, that Jesus, you would speak truth that would dispel, break those chains, break those lies, so that we could hear. And Father God, if we're believing any lies about ourselves, that others have spoken over us, that the enemy has spoken over us, that we see ourselves as anything less than a redeemed, loved child of God, that you would come speak the truth and break off those lies. Because we want our spiritual ears so tuned that even if you whisper, even if you just say, Steve, Steve, don't go that way. Don't do that. Let's do this instead. Steve, somebody in church needs you to pray for them. That we would even hear your still small voice. And so, Father, I'm believing that you're going to come to each one of my brothers and sisters. Find them where they're at. And move them along the spiritual journey to where you want them to be. I'm believing that for myself, that you started a good work in me, you started a good work in us, and you will complete it. So Father, forgive us if we ran to the mountain to hide in a cave, if we had been believing a lie and we've fled away from you. Today, we walk out of that cave and we say, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your truth. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say, and I want to do what you want me to do. And the family of God said, Amen. Have a great day. You're dismissed.